Glory to God. Philippians and chapter 1, we've been looking at the subject of prayer. And if you followed us, we have looked at it as we've titled it that way for us to have an understanding about the role that prayer plays with respect to the activity of God on the face of the earth. There's a role that prayer plays with respect to the activity of God on the surface of the earth. So if you've got nothing at all from this series of teaching, it is that you and I should understand that prayer plays a major role with respect to God's activities, because God is a spirit. And so his activities upon the earth are governed largely by how much men are giving to prayer. In Philippians 1 and verse 19, we see Paul make a startling statement. He says, "For I know that these shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Let me say it again. He says, "For I know that these shall come to my salvation." That word there is deliverance. And that will come through your prayer. And in that prayer, we will have a supply of the Spirit of Jesus. Now, Paul is writing to an old church, the church at Philippi. And Paul is making a startling statement. You see, as the body of Christ, the supply of the Spirit is found in the body of Christ. That's where the supply of the Spirit is. So all God does upon the surface of the earth today, just like he used to do in the Holy Scriptures in the Old Testament, he will look for a man. He will seek for a man. He will get a man that can stand before him. He will begin to channel his activities through that man in the place of prayer. The same thing occurs today. But what God has today is more than just a man. God still has a man. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. In that man, he has many men. So what God does today is that through the body of Christ, through that same body, God begins to channel his activities as the body of Christ or members of that body in different locations give themselves over to prayer. I'm going to give an illustration because, again, as we teach this, I want this to be as practical as possible. And I had this testimony of Dr. John G. Lake in his missionary travels to South Africa while he was there. And he had taught people on the science of healing. He had taught them so well that the whole congregation had been schooled in the fact that God always wants to heal. And that if healing does not manifest, it doesn't change the fact that God wants to heal. In other words, often there is failure on man's part to receive. And when men don't know the word of God, they assume that their failure to receive is the same thing as God failing to heal. So he spent years teaching them and training many people in the art of and the science of healing. So there was a particular day they had prayer requests that were submitted by different individuals. They were praying for individuals that were not within the congregation. People in different places, people brought their needs, and then they submitted every prayer request all over the altar. So in this particular experience, he knelt by the altar and invited the whole church to pray. He laid hands upon the prayer request and began to pray. He said not too long after some time of praying, he found himself in the spirit. So the first thing he noticed was that shafts of light was coming from members of the congregation and were channeled towards him. And when those shafts of light coming as he prayed began to eat him, he found himself moving through the air. And shortly after, he found himself in a particular asylum. Yeah. So he found himself there. And in all the rooms that were there, he found himself entering to a particular room. You understand that in the spirit, there's no distance. And in the spirit also, physical walls are not a barrier. So he found himself, he entered into a particular room, which he later discovered was one of the individuals in the congregation was praying for her brother, who was in a mental asylum. And they'd done everything possible. He wasn't getting better, it was getting worse. So he found himself enter that young man's room while he was, they of course put him in a straitjacket to restrain him because he was violent. He found himself entering the room and laid his hands upon that young man. And when he laid hands upon that young man, the demon that was controlling him left him. And when he opened his eyes, he was back in the other room praying with the rest. Now that happened as they prayed. Now, who went to lay hands on that man? Jesus. How did Jesus lay hands on that man? Through the ministry of John G. Lake. How did Jesus accomplish it? Through the prayer of the church. So Jesus wants to do something. The servant of Jesus is there as his hands and feet. And then the church is supplying the covering and the spiritual energy necessary upon the earth for that work to be done. I hope you see the synergy. So John G. Lake, anointed, yes, couldn't get it done alone. There was a supply of the Spirit that would create enough energy for him to move from where he was physically to another geographical location to effect the will of God, which is to heal. So it is written in scriptures, Jesus is saved yesterday, today, and what? Forever. So you can say, Jesus is the all the tenses of God. Jesus is all the tenses of God put together. Past, present, future. You find it in Jesus. So whatever God used to do is what God still does. It's what he will keep doing. So when you hear how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost power, who went about doing good, healing all, he was anointed with the Holy Ghost with power. He went about, in order to go about, he needed to pray. Hallelujah. He needed to pray. Now, he was anointed. The anointing is for people, so we need to go around with the anointing. But to even effect that, as long as it's among men, he will need to pray. And so he prayed each time he went on his missionary trip. He prayed each time. Why? As long as we're dealing with men, we will need to pray. Hallelujah. We need to pray. It's important. And that tells us something very important. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. I tried to touch on this last week. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. It says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. So, without any argument. This is a generally accepted truth. In other words, when I read Genesis to Malachi, the mystery of godliness is great. Why? We have men who walked with God, who have tried to interpret God in their own understanding of God. And so, the word mystery means that which is waiting to be explained. And it says it's great. That which is waiting to be explained with respect to God was great. So when you hear, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. So what the things about God that required explanation was great. What was God's response? God became manifest in the flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So look at it this way. If God is head but not seen, and God is moving but still not seen, that means all the understanding that men will have of God is little their mind is able to glimpse. So what required explanation about God was great. What mystery means, what requires explanation was great. But God's response to that situation was to become manifest in the flesh. So when I see Jesus again, I see all the tenses of God put together, past, present, and future. This is God as God is. This is God as God will act. This is God as God will behave. So what I see in Jesus in the four Gospels is God explaining himself in the realm of man. It's very important. My attempt to understand God outside of Christ will be an exercise in futility. In other words, the meat will remain. The mystery will remain. The misconception will remain the minute I remove Jesus from the equation. Because Jesus is God explaining himself to man as a man. It's very important we understand that. So I'm not to bypass Jesus in understanding God. I'm to look to Jesus in order to accurately what? Understand God. And here's what is shocking. If Jesus is God in all the tenses, then it means God as a man needed to pray. It must mean prayer, therefore, is not a function of the sin of Adam. Because Jesus was sinless. And Jesus still prayed. So let me ask you a question. If Adam didn't sin, will we still need to pray? Yes. We'll still need to pray. We'll still need to pray. Jesus prayed, and the time he spent praying, and this is God in the flesh, couldn't have been about persuading God. So I'm going to say one or two because it's important. When we are praying, let me say it again, we're not trying to get God to answer. Let me say it again. Particularly New Testament praying, we're not trying to get God to answer. Rather, through us, God is ensuring that the atmosphere and the situation for answers to come is set. Should I say that again? When we pray, listen carefully. You see, there's a mindset that says, I go to God in prayer, and yes. But when I go to God in prayer, the prayer is not in that sense to God to persuade God. I am coming to pray because I heard about God's persuasion. To him that answers prayer, all flesh shall come. So God is somebody who answers. That means if there's no prayer, there's nothing to answer. I hope you understand that. Are we together? So if there's no prayer, there's nothing to what? Answer. So if God answers, it means he needs your prayer for there to be an answer in the first place. How many of you agree there? How many of you agree there? Okay, so to him, the one who answers prayer, all flesh shall come. Now, the traditional mindset is this. I am going to petition God until he answers. It sounds good, but look at it this way. the description we have of God in Christ Jesus is different. We don't see a God men are begging and pleading to answer. We see a God who is willing to answer, and that brings men towards him. Praise God forevermore. Let me show you something. We looked at that also. Look at Luke chapter 18. It's important that we get this fact, because Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of what? Prayer. That means prayer is a service. Prayer is a ministry. That means in his house, prayer is going up consistently as a service and a ministry. It is his house. You cannot be in somebody's house or be somebody's house. You are trying to persuade that person to take care of his house. It doesn't make any sense. So if you are his house, and in Christ Jesus we're God's house, say I'm God's house, you cannot be trying to get the owner of the house to take care of his house. It doesn't make any sense. How many people beg you to take care of your house? Well, don't answer that question, but we don't want sudden revelations, because these things happen. These things happen. And you go to some bachelor pads. Oh my God. Some things are stacked up in places you don't want to mention. Some bachelor's plates of 1 week unwashed. How they survive, I don't know. It's a mystery to me. But look at it this way. If he made you his house, he paid the sacrifice for you to become his house, he came to live inside you as his house, the living inside of you must be to carry out his service, his will, his plan, and his purpose. So persuading him is not even in the equation at all, because he's persuaded. That is in you is sign of persuasion. It's proof of persuasion. That is in you is proof that what is persuaded. I'm going to say something else. Hallelujah. No matter how many times you have prayed, no matter how many times you have been taught God's word, when it comes to praying, you still need to hear the teaching of God's word with respect to what prayer is, what it accomplishes, and what your standing before God is. Because again, every single time most of us pray, the minute you stray away from the word of God for a while, you start feeling you are not qualified for answers. How many of you know I'm talking about? You start looking for why God should answer, because you still don't understand what it's about. That it's not about you, it's about him through you. He knew that you'll be weak. He knows you are inconsistent. He still gave you his spirit. He still came to live inside you. It's like an advance payment. He has given you good credit, good standing in advance that you are supposed to live up to. I hope you know righteousness like a robe is an oversized garment that you're hoping to fill up one day. The only problem is that you may never truly fill it up until Jesus comes. It's like you're wearing an oversized shoe, hoping that your feet will grow. That's what righteousness is. Yeah, it's oversized. Because your conduct is yet to match up with the garment you are wearing. But he has given you the garment anyway. And so every time he sees you, he sees the garment that he placed upon you. He expects you to use the garment to pray. What does it mean to grow into the garment? To use the garment to pray. To use the garment to speak. To use the garment to act. Then you are growing up into the garment. But to step out of the garment, you are in trouble. Condemnation will eat you like a ton of bricks. That is why it is you in Christ that wins, not you in you. You in you is called nakedness. It's called naked and ashamed. Luke 18. Are you following tonight? Luke 18 and verse 1. So, Luke 18. Look at what Jesus said. Remember, Jesus is God in the flesh. And Jesus is teaching. And Jesus is unveiling fundamental truth with respect to God's side and man's side. And Jesus said in verse 1, and he speak a parable unto them to this end, or for this purpose. He said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray. Now, was men ought to persist. Men ought to keep ensuring there is enough for God to work with respect to prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. So let's put it this way. If men ought always to pray and not to faint, and to faint is opposite of prayer, it means therefore that if I'm not praying, I'm fainting. And the word fainting there means to give up. So men ought always to pray. He spoke a parable. And the parable was to communicate one central truth. Why men should not give up in prayer. And the reason he gave is not about God not answering. It's about the fact that there are forces that men will contend with if they persist. In their persistence, they will allow God to have his way. Oh, praise God. In their persistence, they will allow God to have his way. So men ought always to pray. Men ought always to supply God the right material for him to be able to carry out his will in their lives. Men ought always to pray. God wants to do. It is his will. But apparently, as far as God is concerned, as long as God is a spirit, there's a limitation to how much God can do upon the earth, except a man who is flesh and blood is praying. The heaven, even the heavens belong to the Lord our God, but the earth has a what? Given to the children of men. Psalm 115 verse 16. The heaven belongs to the Lord our God, but the earth, so the unseen realm, belongs to the Lord our God. But the earth, this physical world, which is also encompassed by spirit, he has given to what? The children of men. So for spirits to operate, a man has to have authority and give them access. So it is in prayer that we give God access and we allow God to do what he wants to do, which has already stated in his word. So Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And if you study that very well, you notice that there are many things that surround you that want to make you faint or to give up praying. You'll find it on a daily basis. It's in the news. It's the environment. It's in discussions. Rather than continue in prayer, because as you continue, again, continuing is not because you want to persuade God. Continuing is that there is a length of time you spend praying that will ensure a particular supply of the Spirit is available for what God wants to do. You and I don't know what that length of time is, except we persist in prayer. Hallelujah. You and I don't know what that length of time is, except we persist. Now, who knows how long it is? God knows how long it will take. You don't know, except God tells you. So you and I don't know how long it will take. But let me say it again. The greatest mistake we've made is that we have assumed that the length of time is about persuading God. If God sees how serious I am, no. The seriousness God will see in you, listen carefully, is not just in length of time, it's at the beginning of your prayer. As you begin to pray, the seriousness that's required is seen. Even though you are serious, the length of time is necessary because of what needs to be sorted. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me say it again. Unto him that answers prayer, all men will come. What does it mean to come? It means to pray. So he answers. But there's nothing to answer if you don't pray. The answers are with him. The power is with him. The ability is with him. Well, by extension, in the New Testament, the power and the ability is in Zion, which is the church. So what he simply does is that he rolls a burden over unto you. He gives me a burden. He comes to a local assembly, begins to inspire men to pray so that men in that prayer can channel his power to accomplish his purpose. And many times, that purpose has to do with individual men. This person needs to be delivered. This life needs to be preserved. This person needs supernatural assistance out of a situation. This person needs fun. So how that power, that channeling is as we pray, we say this way, that the hand of God is stretched forth to fulfill his plan and his purpose. Hallelujah. It's important. Glory to God. It's when I realize that. So men ought always to pray and not to faint. It's a sign that there's a posture. God is literally counting. And the language of God is meant from the language of men. The language of God is such that there are things God wants to do. I think it was John Wesley that said, it seems as though God is limited in what he can do for man until somebody asks him. So I go into the written world. I see what God promised to do for man. I see what he has done for men. And I see what he will do for men if a man begins to pray. So why would you think he is giving a statement of what he wants to do? After giving example after example of what he has done, is to invite you to a place of what? Prayer. So he doesn't need to be persuaded. Mm-mm. God, give me a spouse or I die. Wait. The first thing is don't die. That's the first thing. Don't die. That's the first thing. Live long enough for the answer to come. Pastor is taking time. Do we always know why it's taking time? No. But we have an idea. Because what you are praying about involves somebody's will. You know, when I try to explain some of these things to people, they really wonder, God showed you a sister, and she's your wife. And God really showed you. And you were foolish enough to assume that because God showed you, she will say yes. Because you don't know how terrible man can be. Man, oh, man. This is man that God gave multiple choice answer to. I lay before you blessing and cursing. Then God gave the answer. Choose blessing that you may live. They still chose a curse. Is that not mysterious? You don't understand. Blessing A, cursing B. You are the examiner. You are giving the answer to you. Is that not original? And I say, but excuse me. Choose blessing. Tick A. He still went to go and tick B. You are like, you are a hopeless case. I will have to come myself to come and do this exam. God had to become man to come and do the exam. Curse has been done for the cause of the love. He made a curse for us. As it's written, curse every man that hangeth what? On a tree. Why did he become a curse? Because those people that choose B. You should answer this thing. Somebody is like somebody in the exam hall. He's spying. He even wrote the boss's name and the number. You know he's hopeless. You are like, why are you even in school? You copied my number. In your copying. You should not be in school. You should not. That's but you should not even be in school at all. So that's how mysterious man can be. That God told you that she's the one doesn't mean she will agree she's the one. What should the wise person do? Go and pray, because she may not see what God is saying. She may even desire she's seeing like you. You are not that speck. See, is it that God? No. So now you think about somebody doing that, and this example I'm giving you has happened several times, and people doubted whether God really told them, but God did. They just assume because God said it's automatic. How I wish it was so. Like in no situation when God just says it's automatic. No, it's not so. It's not so. There's one mysterious being called man who has a will, who can negate God's plan and purpose if you don't pray. You can. So I pray, and once my answer involves men, that prayer usually is not once. I pray. I create an atmosphere for God to work, and for God to keep working. Men ought always to pray. Don't give up means don't let go of prayer until you see answer. Why? Don't be deceived. God wants to answer. But somebody has to get into a batting position to begin to pray. Interestingly, when you get in that position, it is the same God you are trusting to answer you. Who will give you the strength and the energy to pray? Who will even inspire the prayer? That means your prayer cannot be about persuading him. Hallelujah. He wants it as much as you want it. And how delightful that is. That you and God are on the same page. Praise God. You're on the same page with respect to prayer. You're on the same page. So the God you are praying to lives on the inside of you. So when you say you are praying to God, actually what we're seeing is this. You are praying in the light of what God has said, and therefore God is fashioning prayer through you to work out his plan and purpose upon the earth. That's what God is doing. Acts chapter 4. Let me show you something. Before I go to Acts chapter 4, look at that same Luke. Luke chapter 6 first. Luke 6. I'll read from verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to who? To God. Now, notice God can pray. It is men that pray. So when God became a man, what did he do? He prayed. How long did he pray? How long did he pray? All night. How long is all night? Do we do all night in this church? Sometimes. So do we do all night like this? When we want to do this kind of all night, how many of you will come? Jesus's use all night is 6 to 6. You start 6, you finish at 6. Jesus prayed 12 hours. Sinless. No sin. He wasn't praying about car. He wasn't praying about houses. He was praying about 12 people who will carry the gospel to generations. And he spent 12 hours. And after he finished the prayer, it did not look as though the prayer was answered. So why are people laughing? Okay, choose somebody like Peter. Before you point at using Peter, have you heard what James and John and their mother did? They played politics behind the other people's back. But when the other people heard what they were lobbying for, they were angry. Why were they angry? Because they also were high in that position. That's why they were angry. And there was a Judas. And this is Jesus praying. So when Jesus prayed, was he really praying that Judas would not do what he did? Not necessarily. He was praying that he would be able to still walk in love towards Judas after Judas messes up. Because prayer does not just change things. It changes you. That kind of praying, it can't be about things. It's about men. It's about you. God will change you also, and your position and your posture in the place of prayer. Begin to change you. Hallelujah. But he prayed all night. And it wasn't because village people were troubling him. It was not. He was not even casting out demons. Jesus knew when it comes to the activity of God among men, nothing happens without prayer. So prayer is what God does among men. Prayer is what God does among, is what is necessary for the activity of God to be seen among men. Let me put it that way. Prayer is that which is necessary for the activity of God to be seen where? Among men. That's why I say it this way. When your partner is misbehaving, the natural thing is to get into the flesh. A natural thing is to forget you are a believer and to say, men that come from this side of the country, they warn me about you. You are in the flesh. You are forgetting that you are a spiritual being and that God wants to help you. And the help God will give to you will be help that you will be able to release in the place of prayer. So you've done every other thing except pray, more often than not. So if you had prayed, you had mentioned his name in prayer, and you had started praying, God would have been able to effect changes. And many times persuade that man. A suggestion was brought. A decision was made in your home. And as a woman, you don't like it, and your first thought is to argue, which will not get you anywhere. Even when the decision is wrong, it is wrong. But you know, confronting him will not solve it. What should you have done? You should have gone to God in prayer. In other words, you pray. The invisible hand that can touch his heart and change that particular decision and make it work for your good is able to work because you have submitted to God in the place of prayer. So whatever activity of God you want to see in the midst of men, you can only see it as you begin to pray. Hallelujah. God uses our prayer as a cover, as a logistic system in getting his will done among men. And remember, when God is working among men, most of the answers required in prayer will also come through men. So somebody has to be positioned right. Glory to God. You know, I think 2 Sundays ago, we had the Holy Ghost meeting. A word came about favor. About favor of God marking so. You know, people are usually shy to give testimonies in church. So sometimes they will walk up to you and tell you. A lady told me, said that it was a job with a school that had an international standing. And she was a teacher moving from where she was. She wanted to apply for that job. When she got there, she discovered that many other people had applied. Many people applied. And there was an exam she was meant to have done that would serve as actual certification. She didn't have it. Many other people had it. She wrote the test and everything. And she knew those people who were submitting those documents to show that they have it. And she didn't have it. So, Pastor, you believe that they picked me? So not only that, I thought they were not going to pick me. They picked only one person and they picked me. And I didn't have it. Now, something was at work. Something was at work. Hallelujah. Something was at work. The favor. Because when it comes to the workings of God among men, brothers and sisters, prayer is necessary. Prayer is necessary. I told her, still go and get the certification of God has done his part. What are you meant to do? Do your part. Because after a while, a Pharaoh may arise that does not know Joseph. If you understand parable. A Pharaoh may arise that does not know who? Joseph. That one will say, where are your particulars, your papers, your document, and God will have given you enough time. So there's something about the workings of God among men that hence Jesus prayed, and he prayed 12 hours to show us that persisting in prayer is not about just you have a personal difficulty. No, it's about the fact that that's how God gets his plan and purpose done among men. Acts chapter 4, the early church. Look at their model in praying. Persecution hit the church. What did Jesus say about the church? My house shall be called the house of what? Prayer for all nations. Let me read from verse 21. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And being let go, they went to their own company, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they what? Lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Notice the political leaders of the day and religious leaders, they ganged up against them, the church. They punished them and they threatened them. They should no longer teach or speak, which is the exact thing that God told them to do. So, what could they have done? They could have organized a protest and carried placards. We will not grieve for anybody this year. I don't know why people are laughing. It's illustration. So, just carry placard. Go to the state house headquarters, secretariat. Tell them we will not agree. That's one thing. They went to their own company. Look at their first response. Notice they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that in them is. Who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the heathen reach and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the heart stood up and rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against the anointed, for the truth against the Holy Child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both heaven and pointed spirit with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever, notice thy hand and thy counsel, the timing before to be done. Verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their words, strengthened. Now, this is the first time we see that what the church is asking for, listen carefully, is not God. Confuse their imagination. Throw them into darkness. God, kill their children. Let thunder fire them. The way we create prayer points in Africa is wonderful. First time I heard that, Holy Ghost ballistic missile, I said, how did you put those words together in one sentence? Holy Ghost and then ballistic missile. I don't understand. The imagination of men is something else. Even the angels will fold their hands and say, wow, see creativity. I don't understand. Holy Ghost by the skills. I don't understand. And he's an African. I mean, they keep reading them. And people shouting, amen, amen. Now, do you notice, Lord, behold their strengthenings. Not, Lord, kill them. Number two, they did not mention Satan once throughout this prayer. Yes, who was behind the scene? Satan. Who was he using? He was using men. Satan was not mentioned once. That is, Satan did not make it in their prayer. He was not given an honorable or dishonorable mention. They didn't see him as a factor. Somebody says, why? He says, the things we're saying in prayer, you have already said them ahead of time. That they will gather together against the Lord. So if you said it before, you already have something you want to do when it happens. So what you said you will do when it happens is what you are asking you to do now. What did God say he will do? Look at what I say. Now, beyond all your threatenings, which is, and grant unto your servants. So the answer of God will come to the servants of God. Hallelujah. Say, God's Spirit dwells in me. Say, the supply of God's Spirit is in the saints, is in the body, is in the church. He said, grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may what? Speak your word. Okay? By stretching forth your hand to heal. Again, when God is stretching forth hands to heal, will you literally see God's hands? No. When God stretches forth his hands to heal, it is the same as the previous one. It says, grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak. So when they were speaking, who was speaking? God was speaking. But the servants of God will speak, and that will be God speaking. So when he says, stretch forth your hands, whose hands will be stretched forth? The servants. What is God doing? Answering prayer. How is he answering? Through the servants of God. It hasn't changed. Glory to God. Grant unto your servant that with all boldness they may speak. So when we come together, for instance, we pray for Holy Ghost meeting, we pray for boldness. We pray for boldness. That's the part that God has provided, so that the boldness that is available in God can be released through his servants. It's one thing for God to bring something, it's another thing for men to take it up or to receive it. There are two different things. So when you are praying that prayer, you are praying particularly for the man side of the equation, that the boldness that is in God, men may lay hold upon it and walk in it. Listen, there are different dimensions of boldness. There are different dimensions of boldness. Smirigoswat laid hands on Lester Sumner before he died. That the same spirit of faith that was in him will rest upon Lester Sumner. And people testified that Lester Sumner was bold, particularly before demonic forces. He was unusually bold. And he walked in that measure to such a degree that there was a time from his missionary trip, he came into one of the states in the U.S. He was going to minister in that state the next morning. Churches within that particular region, they experienced a lot of liberty in the spirit the next day. You know, when the pastors knows that, but he's not have prayed this much. But the way demons are living, new people are getting healed. It was happening in all the churches. And God whispered to one of them, my servant, Lester Sumner is in town. That means this man is so yielded that the Spirit of God is able to express himself to that degree through him. I hope you understand. And the effect was seen in the churches around. That means there was a stature he had in the spirit that demons were checking out with ease. There are people like that. This, you know, funny enough, the way you have people like that, you also have people, when they come, nothing works. God forbid, Barton. Nothing works. Everything just becomes stifled. Yes. When I'm watching meetings, I'm studying, I'm preparing for meetings, I watch Papa Higgins' videos a lot. I see him line up people to lay hands on them. Everybody will fall. You see one go to... I said, so you people are everywhere. In a meeting with this kind of anointing, you see one God eating people. You see one, something like that, it's like a doorknob, dead doorknob. If you lay legs, nothing will happen. They'll just be there. As cold as, in fact, as you come near them, it's like the spirit is leaving you. Just move back. Don't move back to them. Let me go to where. It's like you are just feeling resistance. Like when you are coming here, Revelation, when you are going, everything just dies. Just, no, let me just stay here. You know, they will quench the spirit. You know, what kind of spirit do you come inside with? So the minister needs to pray for boldness, so that he will be bold to deliver and to minister all that God wants to do. God wants to move. God wants to bless. God wants to change lives. But he will say it true. He said, grant us that with all boldness we may speak your word. That word will include not just the preaching of the gospel. It will include prophecies that ought to be spoken in that meeting. And you, by stretching forth your hands to heal. And the hands God will stretch out will be the hands of the apostles. And as signs and wonders. So healing will take place. That's one side. Signs and wonders, that's another side. The healings are one side. Signs and wonders are another side entirely. Both are part of the gospel package. Hallelujah. Both are part of the gospel package. Signs and wonders will be wrought in the name of your only child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaking up. So the answer came through them. When he said the place was shaking up, who really shook? Were the saints. With the impact of the answer that came. So the answer of God is inside the saints. So obviously the prayer couldn't be, let's pray to God to persuade him. No. It's that you are praying through God, or so to speak, God is praying through you, so that the supply of the Spirit can come forth. So for instance, if you pray tonight, I say, Father, which we are going to do, you go around every seat here. The seats are just representations in the spirit of where people will sit, isn't it? So there are seats over there, stacked over there. Last Sunday, this place was full. I don't know how the ushers do it, but the ushers are doing a fantastic job. They're doing a wonderful job. On Sundays like that, you don't want to be an usher at those sessions. But you see, seats, I saw every corner filled up. And I didn't know until I came to the back. Every corner. And I saw some of them standing up. That means some of them have to let go of their seats. Now, in a meeting like that, people are coming in. And there is no human being without an atmosphere. They are coming with human atmospheres. So we pray and pray that the atmosphere they come to meet is bigger than the one they are bringing. How many of you are sometimes saying? And then we touch the chairs as a representation, saying that anyone who sits upon these chairs, the power of God will eat them. There will be no resistance whatsoever. Because like I said, even Satan is not big enough to resist God. But men, either to Satan, can resist God. You hear what I said? Even Satan is not big enough to resist God. But men, either to Satan, because of their will, they don't have a moral right, but they have a legal right to resist the activity of God upon the earth. So we pray that men will be yielded. That's why in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul says that pray that the word of God will have free course and be glorified. It will have free course. That is, the word of God will have access to men's hearts. It will well receive and it will be glorified. And that will be delivered from wicked and what? Unreasonable men. What does that mean? If you don't pray that way, wicked and unreasonable men will kill ministers. They've done that severally. You know, and not because God didn't want to deliver, but because there was not enough prayer cover. Hallelujah. There was not enough prayer cover. There was not enough prayer cover. I heard a minister, I won't mention his name, give a testimony about, I think, something about going on his morning exercise in the morning, and was accosted, I think, by a robber on a bike with a gun and the person shot, close range, and the bullet didn't touch the minister. Now, if he had died, that's how we just say, we don't know what God is using it for. What is God using it for? Say, God called the servant to him. That's not how he calls them, or if he wants to call them. Somebody bullet in the head. No, that's not how he doesn't call people like that. That's a dance work. He lived to tell the testimony because power of God was at work to deflect the gun. And there are cases where the bullet did not fire. I mean, a communist country, a tiny looking woman, a force for God, when you have prayed and you are soaked in prayer, and you are holding a crusade meeting and everybody there is under the power of God, and the communist soldiers rush into the meeting with a mandate to come and arrest you. And while they are at the door, as they entered, the guns first fell before they also fell. The guns fell, they also fell. The power of God can be that heavy. I watched a video clip, Pastor Chris ministry, and he just stopped. He just said, there are two of you here, and you came here to this meeting with guns. If you don't want to die, come forward now. Now it's not, let's just bow down. It's no, come forward now. We don't want to die. We're going to take those guns from you and surrender it to the police, but we're going to rehabilitate you, everything will be fine. So they're not handing them over to the police. They'll just take the weapons and say that, come. And those people came forward under the power of God. That's the power of God. That's the power of a praying church. That's not just the anointing of a man. That's the power of a praying church. For him to do those things, look, listen carefully. How many of you have watched the healing streams? That power that you see. You know how many days of prayer? Every time they want to do that program. Because that's the next assignment of that ministry. How many days of prayer? When people are having sicknesses, a lot of them are demonically oriented. And just imagine you're standing, just pointing and just, it's prayer. That has, days of prayer and fasting. That the church prayed. So the man is backed up by that kind of power. And you know how many members they have worldwide? Everybody's praying and fasting for just that program. So they have more instant healings because there's more free course of God's word, our gospel is able to work more because a lot of power has been what? Generated. Glory to God. That's what our prayer does. So it's not we trying to persuade God to answer. It's God using our prayers to fill his plan and purposes. Under that cover of prayer, God is able to do much. So we have to change our mindset from, I'm trying to persuade God in prayer. No, it says, I know that this shall turn to my salvation. That's deliverance. Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So there is a correlation between the saints praying and the supply of the Spirit that ensures deliverance and preservation. There's a correlation. It means the more we pray for Sunday, for instance, the greater the works that we're going to see. The greater the miracles we're going to see. The more instant the testimonies are going to be. The more we pray. The more we pray, the greater the manifestation of the Spirit we're going to experience and see. And that's why a lot of times when we're praying as we know to pray in the Spirit, the same Spirit of God comes to our head as we pray, giving us utterance concerning what to say and what to expect, so that we as we begin to know how to channel our prayers. So you may start off not knowing which direction you're going to go. You just start off. You just know this is what is written. Then it takes you from what is written to what is inspiring you to do at that point. How many of you know clock number, please? Yeah. We always start with what is written. And as you start off with what is written, it moves you into what is inspiring you to pray out now in that situation. The miracles, the signs, the wonders, the glory of God settling, resting upon men. In every single one of these meetings, if we want to count it, starting all the way from December, we can say this day, this last day, it is the last but not the least. That more men will come in arrested. You know, there are men walking around that their confidence in God's power needs to be restored. They are shaking. Some people that you call backsliders. You cannot use ordinary speech to persuade them. They are seemingly, in that sense, immune to words that you preach. You preach the gospel with just your mouth, they don't listen. Before you say anything, say, what are you going to say? I know they're even quoting scripture, you're going to quote to them. No, that means they are quoting scripture from their head. Their heart is not in it. There's a disconnect. Those kind of people, it takes the power of God to arrest them. So they will come also. I think, was it, which month was that now? Was it last year that we had a security alert? Churches were being robbed. People were going to churches. Oh, you didn't hear about it? Oh, people close to us here. They were going to churches and they were entering, they were robbing churches. They were going in during the service. So I can't remember if we took a prayer. We didn't take a service in prayer. We just made some declarations that even when they come here to come and scout, they will not be able to perform the enterprise. The church has that kind of power. Now, if we don't pray, God will just be looking. Now, someone says, why is God looking? He doesn't want to. It's not that he's looking. Whatever he wants to do, he does as the church prays. Where the hands of God extended, say amen. It's important I realize that. So a lot of times our mindset is that I'm trying to pray to get God to do. And God is trying to get you to pray so he can do. He wants to do before you even start to pray. So it's because he wants to do that he calls you to prayer. You think it's because you want something that, but it's because he wants something to be done that he invites you to pray so that what he wants to do can flow through you and flow out. I know this shall turn to my deliverance. It will be through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. That means all that the resurrection has to offer is in the prayer of the saints. Let me show you something. First Kings. We're going to round up shortly and begin to pray. Look at the language that was used there. First Kings chapter 18. The story of Elijah, the fire prophet. First Kings chapter 17, the first two verses, and then we'll go to chapter 18. Look at the way he was introduced. Thank God for the epistle of James that gave us further information, because the way he was introduced, First Kings, it just came from nowhere. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Can you see that? That was how he was introduced. There shall not be rain nor dew. So James will now tell you, and Elijah prayed that it would not rain. And he not rained for a space of 3 years, and he prayed again. So Elijah prayed it would not rain, and he prayed again. What does that tell you? It's not a coincidence. He was following a law. Who is Elijah? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amplified, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power of God what? Available, that is dynamic in its working. So James used Elijah to describe what power, what standing a righteous man has. And guess who is the righteous man? Elijah. Who is less than perfect in character? So he's telling you the prayer and the conduct, there's no relationship. He's a righteous man, or he believes God, and he can generate a lot of power in the place of prayer. And when the generated power went to the king, there shall be no rain nor dew except by my word. He bound the heavens by prayer. Now look at the same Elijah. Look at chapter 18. This is important now. And it came to pass after many days. Now when you say many days here, many days actually means some years old. It's not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. If you follow the story. So, that the word of the Lord, that's a prophet. A prophet usually operates by the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto Elijah. Notice in the third year. So you know how many years, how many days now? Okay. Saying, look at what the word of God said. Go, show yourself unto Ahab, and I will what? Send rain upon the earth. Again, you need to understand the language of the Bible. So if you read that in English, what does it appear? Once Ahab sees you, rain will come. Just like this, Hamia. What does it mean go and show? Hey, it's go and pray. It's go and pray. Go and show yourself to Ahab. Yeah, Ahab met face to face. Nothing happened. In fact, what he did was that he made the matter was to Ahab. Ahab accused him. Are you the one that troubles Israel? He said, no, it's you and your father's house. Imagine telling that to Abacha. It's okay. Are you the one that troubles Israel? He said, no, it's you and your father's house. God must have spoken to you. And then he told Ahab, we want to know who the true God. All your fake prophets, call them. Let us meet by so and so. We'll prove the real God. After he did that, and fire came. Pray the short prayer. And fire came down. What else did Elijah do? What did God say? Go and show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain. So what did God want to do? I want to send rain. That means between what I want to do and the manifestation, Elijah has to do something. So Elijah, you are not trying to get me to send rain. I am informing you, I want to send rain. I'm telling you the conditions that will be necessary for the rain to be sent. Go and show yourself to Ahab, which also means go and pray. I mean, you understand? Go and pray. So after that conflict, the fire came down. Then Elijah went to the mountain and bent himself in the place of prayer, which is a batting position. There was no cloud, no sign of rain. And yet he told the king, rain is going to fall today. Began to pray. He prayed seven times. Seven times shows persistence, or to pray without ceasing. So it is God's will. Now listen carefully. This is important. You said it's God's will to you. Yes or no? It's God's way to save. Yes or no? It's God's way to deliver. Yes or no? It's also God's way to send rain. Elijah, why do you need to pray seven times? To me, it's God's will. If it's God's will, let God just do his will. So when we say, may the will of God be done. Which will of God? The will of God done is men praying. That's like passively signing up for defeat. Yeah, we don't know what God wants you for. May the will of God be done. That's how you'll be homeless. You see, you just say, may the will of God. Eh? No. You pray. You pray. That's how God's power is channeled. You pray. Is there any way? May the will of God be. That's like passively giving in to defeat. Elijah knew. Why did he pray seven times? Because he knew that he had to continue. The word of God concerning it was already sure. I'm going to send the rain. So you pray first time, you didn't see it. You know, say, maybe God has changed his mind. No. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't lie. Hallelujah. Listen. And maybe when we're holding maybe another healing meeting or healing school or something of that nature, we'll share more along this line. I think it was Andrew Womack that gave the particular testimony. In those early days, as he was teaching on the principles he found out from God's word concerning healing, said that they prayed for a particular fellow who was blind. He couldn't see well. They prayed for him to see. They prayed and prayed and prayed, and the man couldn't see. So he keep asking, open your eyes, can you see? The man said, I can't see anything. Of course, say each time you ask him, can you see? The faith of people were going down. So when he finished the service, other people had received it. So he now told every other person that wants to go, please go home. That's the crowd. Those who want to stay and continue to just stay. Now, what did God say to Elijah? Go and show yourself, I will send rain. You have prayed first time, you prayed second time, you have prayed third time, you have prayed fourth time. That's not the time to say, maybe it's not God's will. No, he told you. What do you do? You use what he said to persist in prayer. That means you have not eaten the gosha yet. You just continue. I mean, even something. Now, so he said, he dispatched the crowd. He now left those he was training along those lines. They stayed with him. They began to pray. He now said, as they were praying, I said, God, there's something stopping this man from receiving. That means on man's end, not God's end. There's something stopping this man from receiving. Show us what the issue is. While he was praying that way, the first person God spoke to was his associate. But I won't brush it off as a thought because it came as a thought. You know when God begins, my son, Tobechukwu, my son. No. It just come like a thought. So he said he first came to understand. I won't say that he doesn't have what it takes to see. So you know. Then he came to, and the thing touched him and said that, wait, can you tell us how you became blind? Oh, he said, I was born without the cornea that makes people say, oh, what were they praying for? Healing. Now, what did God speak to his heart? He said that the man you are praying for does not hear healing. He needs a miracle. What were they praying for? Healing. What's the healing? Restoration of the body from a disease condition. A miracle. Creative part. I hope you understand the difference. So that's why he doesn't need it. He needs a miracle. So when God spoke it, he said, close your eyes. They prayed that God will restore that part there. Open your eyes. The man began to see clearly. You know, they will have stayed there for money tonight. And if they don't see result, they say that God has gone to crusade in Jakarta. He's very busy today. He doesn't want to heal anybody today. That's why. Meanwhile, the issue was that they had a problem receiving what God was offering because they were praying amiss. Now, if they didn't persist in prayer, would they have heard? They wouldn't hear. So as they persisted in prayer, they heard further instructions. Pray this way. He doesn't need healing in his what? A miracle. What am I trying to say? God was willing. Elijah persisted. How do you know he persisted? The servant will come back. I didn't say anything. He said, keep going. Say, by the seventh time, he said, I see a cloud. The size of a man's hand. It was all Elijah needed to say. He said, don't worry. Go and tell the king. Get your chariot and go. So that the rains will not stop you. That's how bold and confident he was. From a cloudless sky, said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And then the rain began to fall in torrents. So a lot of people that are looking around, where are the clouds? Where are the clouds? You are looking in the wrong place. He literally prayed the cloud to form. God was walking through him, prayed until the cloud began to form. So the more he prayed, the more the cloud formed. If only we could see in the spirit that as we pray, the thickness of the cloud of glory over the meeting begins to increase. So, of course, the way people receive changes. More people receive, more people are blessed. Many people are arrested in their chairs. Many people find themselves ready to participate. Many people have divine visitations where they sit. Because we have sorted a lot of things out where in the place of prayer. You enter a meeting and the first thing the minister says, and you think, God, I just hope I'll bless. And the first thing he says concerns you. You know God has answered your prayer. How many of you know I'm talking about? You know God has answered your prayer. You just know. But he doesn't know me. And yet the first thing he said, as I was coming in, that was the first thing he said. That's why we pray. For God to speak to the mouth of the servants that way. For God to lead the servants that way. On Sunday, I think Brother Stephen was saying that he saw me ministering a push to people. 30 minutes before the time he came up, I was telling Pastor Jimmy, I already walked around. And everybody I prayed for, I placed my hand on their back as I was led. I was led to pray this way that something will happen. So I was literally demonstrating that push, which he had seen, which he had not told me. I would just walk, as I walked around, I would just walk in the reality of what he had seen without us discussing. That's what the Holy Ghost means about. God is orchestrating on both ends. Hallelujah. As you have been led, I'm also being led. So what I'm going to do, God will show you. What you will do, God will show me. We'll compare notes, the glory of God breaks forth. Hallelujah. That's the plan of God. We're the church. Nothing about us is ordinary. Hallelujah. Nothing about us is what? Ordinary. The spark can start from anywhere because every one of us has that shot of glory within us. Let's stand to our feet tonight and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost.